From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is A Time of Hope.
Called to listen, we would open the ears of our souls to hear the promises of God. Called to serve, we would open our hearts to share the compassion of Jesus with everyone. Called to hope, we would open our eyes to follow the Spirit in being peace for all those who need it.
The Reverend Dale Parsons leads the congregation in the prayer of the day.
Please join with me in the spirit of prayer. God of our past, we gather this morning to remember the rich legacy that we have received. You, O God, have been our dwelling place in all generations. And in these moments, we recall the great cloud of witnesses who surround us, those whose vision and courage and commitment and sacrifice have made this day possible. In the moment we see their faces and recall their names and hear the voices of those who have gone before us, we call to mind the pastors and teachers and leaders who have served. Their faithfulness, their witness and service are remembered on this occasion. We do remember. God of the present moment, we also rejoice in the 150th anniversary which we celebrate today. What a marvelous milestone it is. And in our time of worship, fellowship, and celebration, may we be fully aware and awake to your presence and power in our midst. May we worship this day filled with joy and gratitude for all you have entrusted to us and for the many gifts with which you have equipped us. We rejoice. God of the future, you also call us to respond, to accept the cost and joy of discipleship, to be servants in the service of others. You nudge us and challenge us and remind us to be the church, to follow Jesus, to trust the leading of your Holy Spirit. We pray that the inspiration of this day may encourage each of us to new witness, to new work, and to worship as you invite and call us into the future. Indeed, O God, we are here today to remember, to rejoice, and to respond. Surround us with your love. Heal us with your grace. Challenge us with the word you have for us this day. Renew your church, O God, on this 150th anniversary. For this we pray in the name of our risen Savior. Amen.
This morning's anthem is entitled House of Grace, performed by the Anniversary Chancel Choir under the direction of Mrs. Stacy Frederick.
charity,
a place with harmony,
a fellowship where hope and love.
Listen now to this message from the Reverend Gary M. Schulte entitled, Be the Church.
I don't see these kind of congregations in New Hampshire. I long for the day that we do, but humbled to be here, grateful to be here. Thank you for your invitation. And the gospel may have gone missing for a minute, but I hope we not only hear it, but find it and live it as we go forth today. So let us pray. O Spirit of the living God, fall afresh now on this church. Take these wooden words of mine, O God, and let them live in our hearing and let them lodge in our hearts. And yes, let them be evident in the work of our hands as we go forth from this place, scattered to serve you in the world wherever you take us. Open us to hear, to receive, and to believe. Through Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Amen. Dear people of God, it is good to be with you this morning. And as I said, I am humbled and deeply grateful for your invitation to share in this celebration of 150 years of being the church here in California, Missouri. I bring you greetings from Debbie, who is still involved with educating middle school students as a Title I math tutor now. Not her favorite thing to do. She loved that reading stuff, but math is different. She works with a lot of international students, a lot of immigrant families in Concord. And school there is not out until the 17th of June. That was a little Holy Spirit moment. Better to get that over with now so we don't have that again. summer's always so very, very short in New Hampshire. When they go back to school, middle of August, blink. And then comes winter, which is our dominant season. And I still have that snow shovel that Bob Kiefer gave me at the farewell party. It's safely stored among some other artifacts up in my attic. It's my spare shovel, just in case the others break sometime. Well, I remember so many things about being here with you. I remember a day when Debbie and I think Matt might have been with us, I'm not sure, slipped over here for a visit in March of 1993 just to figure out where California was. It was the day of McGurk, the community building's annual pancake supper, and we slipped in here in the cover of daylight, and the folding chairs are being loaded on cattle trailers out in the parking lot to take to McGurk. And I remember Abe and Danny Roback and Paul Bryant and Bob Bryant and Paul LeBeck were the only ones who were here. I didn't know where California was before that day, and yet you were right up the highway from where I had been born. You were strangers to me, even though we were kindred in faith. This became our family's home at a very formative time in our lives. You became so very dear to us at that time, and it is always humbling to go back to a place that has been home. And so I'm grateful today, but I'm not going to dwell now on any more reminiscing. I'm not here to reminisce with you about where you've been and where we are now, although that's an important task for the anniversary, and you may do some of that this afternoon. Rather, I hear in today's scriptures a call to the future and a challenge for you to continue to be the church. This challenge is for you and for your children and your children's children and the children of this community and the children's children of this community and the children of the world. I believe that this community needs you to be the church. You can be a lot of other things, clubs and social things and political parties, but what this community needs is for you to be the church of Jesus Christ. And more deeply than that, I believe God needs you to be the church. To be Christ's community of healing and hope and love in a broken and desperate world. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, the text is the Shema Israel, that ancient call to be people of faith, to love God with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their might. The text contains a reminder to teach our children to love God. It's about keeping the commandments not as some external force, but letting those commandments lodge inside us until they shape our identity and inform our actions. God wants us, according to the text, to recite the story of our faith, remembering and proclaiming how we were once no people at all, but now we are God's precious people. Tell your children the story of how your ancestors came to this country from Switzerland and from Germany and from all kinds of other places as immigrants, and teach them to be sensitive to the presence of the immigrant among us today. Tell your children to cherish their freedom to worship and serve God. What a great freedom that is. Tell them the story of our faith through your words as well as your witness. Don't be shy about it, for the children need to know why this faith is at the heart of your life. Some years ago, a colleague retired from active ministry, and she was troubled that she had never, ever in 40 years told her kids why she was called to be a minister. And she never told them how her life had been shaped by her faith. So she determined in her retirement to write a spiritual memoir to tell her children what she had not been able to find the words to tell them in 40 years of professional ministry. Now, I'm not sure whether that project ever got finished before she died. How sad it is, isn't it, to think that we do not share from the depths with those nearest and dearest to us about what this all means and why we are here, who God is and Jesus. And so tell your kinfolks why you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. How did that happen for you, that you came to follow Jesus? Tell them about these inclusive waters of holy baptism, that indelible mark of grace that still claims you as a child of God, a disciple of Christ, and a member of the big, wide, universal church of Jesus. And tell your kids what this local church means to you. Today might be a good day to do that. Tell them and teach them to love the church just as you love it. Teach them to be generous as you are generous. Teach them not only in Sunday school and confirmation class, but by the everyday way that you live out your faith in the world. Teach them to be courageous and to think for themselves, that they may give witness to their faith in their own words and their own ways. They won't necessarily parrot yours. The generations to come may not think and believe and act just like we, but there is that opportunity for others to claim the faith for themselves in their own day. The church needs courageous disciples right now in this day. So give your children a space to grow up in faith, to discover for themselves who Jesus is and what discipleship requires of them. Help them to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with their God. Let them shape the church for their own time. We had a gathering of confirmation students in New Hampshire several years ago, and the Reverend Joffrey Black, our former general minister and president, came, and he stood in the sanctuary, and he addressed that gathering of 150 or so confirmands, and he said to them something that I'll never forget, or at least not soon forget. Joffrey said, "Gary and I will soon be gone. This is your church. This is God's gift to you for the future. So do well with it. It's yours." So on this day, when you give thanks to God who gathers you, the challenge and the call is be the church as you testify to your families so that they may be faithful in the struggle in their own time, in God's good time. Paul, in the letter to the Ephesians, speaks about an inheritance that is ours in Jesus Christ. This morning, think of what we have inherited. On the one hand, the inheritance is heavenly and spiritual and has to do with our redemption as children of God's grace. We are God's own people now, and we have received the inheritance. The Holy Spirit, says Paul, is the pledge that we get that inheritance. What I have discovered is that the spiritual and the material often get really mixed up together. The spiritual is often manifested in the physical and the material. So just look around at what you have inherited here in California. This living community of commitment and care is your inheritance. You have a reputation for faithfulness in season and out of season. You are a congregation that sings for the praise of God's glory. This is the most singing church I think I have ever experienced. It is powerful. It is wonderful. It is a testimony to the faith that you carry in your hearts. And you are a church that continues to be connected to your community in so many wonderful ways. It's not just about being the church on Sunday morning when you gather here, but when you scatter into the streets of California and Montauk County and further beyond, you are still the church. So I ask you, what will you leave for others? What is the legacy that you will give or are giving for the glory of God? Everybody has a gift to give. In the churches that I work with that are most troubled, somebody has said, we don't need your gift. It doesn't fit with us. We don't want your gift. We want his gift or her gift, but we don't want yours. Cherish the gift of everybody, whatever they bring. Encourage others to share. In the small church where I began my ministry in eastern Missouri, the confirmation class of 1920 was steadfast in their commitment to the church. All but one of those confirmands were still members of the local church. The Reverend Paul Raymeyer had escaped. He was a member of that class of 1920 and went off to do conference or synod kind of stuff. But the rest of them were all still there, and I had the privilege of being their pastor as they celebrated their 65th anniversary of being a confirmation class. And I was their pastor as they faced into the final years of their life. And what I saw in those confirmands was this kind of love for the church. They left a living legacy of their faith, not only in their life, but also in their death. They were never showy or pretentious. They didn't throw it all around or talk about it a lot. They were quiet givers of grace, generous in building up the church. So be the church. As you receive and leave your inheritance for the glory of God and the good of those who will follow you in this place. And the risen one. We're here today because of him. The risen one who met his disciples in Galilee still meets you here in California, Missouri, week in and week out. He says, go, go. Don't sit still and be satisfied with what you've done in the past. Go. Don't sit still in your regrets and failures, whatever they might be. But he says, go make disciples of everybody everywhere. Go. We make disciples by making friends. And I know you do that well. I have experienced that friendship as you welcome newcomers and have been there, not only with one another in times of crisis in the congregation, but also with those who are without a church and those who have a difficult life, whether they have no church or some church. You are there, and so I continue to encourage you to be the church. I heard Bishop Dwayne Royster, a United Church of Christ from Philadelphia, speak recently at a Vermont conference annual meeting. Bishop Royster said as he began his address, I have some bad news today. There is no Superman. There is no Wonder Woman. There is no Batman. There's only you. When we work together with Jesus Christ, we can do extraordinary things, the bishop said. And he said of a lot of other things in the middle of that address, and if you're like me, you kind of space out at that point. But I heard him say that being with others, was a lot more important than being for others. You're for others from some safe distance. But the bishop called us to be with others in his address. And he concluded with a crescendo, as only he can do, something like this. He said, between someone's heaven and someone's hell, there's only you to make a difference and save lives. So he said, go out into the deep with Jesus and get both your feet wet and change the world. Be the church. Be the church by being with and going out in the world and getting your feet wet and standing there between someone's heaven and someone's hell to lift them to life. The United Church of Christ has a banner that reads, "Be the Church." I don't know if you've seen it here. It's only recently that it's come to me. I don't spend a lot of time, Dale does, but I don't, looking at United Church of Christ stuff. I should, but I don't. Sometimes don't. But even though I didn't pay attention to this banner, I love this banner. I'm going to order this banner. We're going to fly it at the conference center, for goodness sake. And this is what the little banner says. Be the Church. Protect the environment. Care for the poor. Forgive often. Reject racism. Fight for the powerless. Share earthly and spiritual resources. Embrace diversity. Love God. Enjoy this life. I like that banner a lot because it is a challenge for us to be the Church. I like the way it ends with enjoy this life. We go through life with such long faces so much of the time. Enjoy it. It is a gift from God. And if I had a chance, I'd add to the bottom of that banner, hope in Christ's resurrection. For I believe we still worship a God of resurrection, the one who raised Jesus from the dead. There is not a week that goes by in New Hampshire when I don't visit churches and see the power of the resurrection being realized in the local churches, even in that very unreligious state. Resurrection means the future is a gift from God that comes to us. It's not about all the wonderful things we might imagine that we might do to shape and mold and change the future. The Church lives in the hope of the gift of resurrection as it comes from the Spirit of the living God. Today I give thanks for the risen one who says to us, as he said to those disciples in Galilee so long ago, "Lo, I am with you always." The 150 years you have loved and served God since 1866 are part of that always. And it extends to the next 150 years. I'm invited to a church next Sunday where they're celebrating their 300th anniversary, so it is possible. It's more than possible. Always extends to that next 150 years and far, far beyond, more than we can imagine ourselves. The risen Christ is with you now, my friends, and into the future. Don't ever doubt that. Don't ever give up on that. You are sustained and guided by the Holy Spirit of the living God. You are not alone. You are never alone. God loves you dearly. Be the Church. Amen.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.